Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call us toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And every once in a while, I guess somebody wants to call the regular line without the toll-free numbers, and that's 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. Or, like I said, you can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open our program this evening with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. We do pray that you take the program tonight, use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ this evening, and help us to lift up and glorify Christ through the things that we talk about. We thank you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you here tonight, and I'll tell you, for the last Sunday in May, the last day in May, less than an hour, it's going to be June the 1st, and got out of the car, the thermometer said 47 degrees on the car thermometer. And when I left our house here to head up to the radio station here in northeastern Ohio, of course, we're in Independence, Ohio, which is just south of Cleveland, Ohio. And it was 46 degrees on my thermometer at my house. I live about 15 miles south of the station. And that's a chilly night for the last night of May. So that's climate change, I guess. That's the beauty of climate change. No matter what it does, you say it's climate change. Well, no, it's just called variation in temperatures. But at any rate, glad you're here with us. And again, like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air there. And talk about a couple things here as we get going on the program. It's kind of interesting, the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis, mentioned not too long ago, had recognized the state of Israel as a sovereign, or not the state of Israel, I'm sorry, my mistake there, the Palestinian territories or the Palestinian Authority as a sovereign state, the state of Palestine. And it's kind of interesting, I heard somebody point out that about 7 days later, one of the most Catholic nations in Europe, Ireland, voted to endorse same-sex marriage. And heard an interesting discussion on that. And they were talking about how a number of activists from the United States were there and influenced a lot of money, a lot of American money came into the contest there between the same-sex proponents and the traditional marriage proponents. And I believe it was a 60-some percent vote there that caused Ireland to now recognize, say that they're going to recognize same-sex marriage. And they said that they believe that the next targeted place is going to be Italy itself, with the idea of essentially surrounding the Vatican, because the Vatican, while it's the head of the Roman Catholic Church, is also an independent state. It's an independent state that's situated within the confines of the city of Rome. And so they believe that by doing that, they'll have the seat of the Roman Catholic Church surrounded by an area that is in favor of same-sex marriage. And there's a desire to bring that into the Roman Catholic Church, as well as Protestant churches, Orthodox churches, evangelical churches, etc. A number of the mainline Protestant churches already are going that way. I saw a picture where the Church of England is now having baptismal services, essentially rebaptizing people who have gone through transgender surgery, rebaptizing them in their new name, reflecting reflecting the hormone treatments and body mutilation that they chose to undergo. And so this is the kind of thing that's happening in our churches. And if our churches are no longer standing up for the Word of God, then how do we expect the people, the average person in the pew, to stand up for the Word of God when the pastors in the pulpits aren't? Kind of like in the days of Jeremiah, when he warned that the priests were and the prophets were prophesying falsely. And then he said, and the people love to have it so. And I'm afraid that's kind of the day that we're coming into today, that the people love to have it so. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Reminder, you can check us out at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And find out more. We've got Ben calling in here this evening. And Ben, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
I got a question, what you just mentioned about the Church of England and all that. Hasn't stuff like this been going on for millennia, except just in these last days it's coming more to just out in the open?
Past,
but now it's what Blatsky said, like, comes out to be known by everybody.
Yeah, it's becoming more open. And it's a different degree of things as well, because, you know, if you study history, homosexuality, for instance, is nothing new. Otherwise, it wouldn't be spoken of in the Bible and condemned as an abomination in the Bible if it didn't exist back, you know, thousands of years ago. And most civilizations, most cultures have had homosexual activity to a more or less degree in them. But of course, one of the differences for us today is sort of twofold. One is the desire to recognize same-sex relationships on par with marriage as between a man and a woman, and we've not had that before. And then secondly, this whole idea of transgender, they've not had the ability to, through the hormone treatments and the medical surgical mutilation of the human body, to effect what they euphemistically call a sex change operation. So those things, like you said, they're coming more open today than they were in the past.
Real quick, I had one theory that I'll get going. When Noah was building the ark, do you think the populace then sort of believed it and built structures like these big structures to withstand the water on the ground in the face of God rather than going up over the water of Noah?
Well, I don't personally believe that they did, and my reason is that Noah was pretty much, it seems like, soundly mocked for claiming that there would be a flood coming.
Okay.
And, you know, he was building this ark, and during the time it took him to build the ark, of course, he was a laughingstock of people, because if you study the Bible, in the time prior to the flood, it did not rain as it does today.
Right.
The Bible talks about a mist that comes up from the ground and a lot of springs and things like that. Coming up that watered everything fairly well. And as a result, we did not see rain in the fashion that we see today. So the idea of this concept of rain was sort of ridiculed, apparently. And as a consequence, I would not see people taking Noah seriously and trying to build some way of withstanding the waters of the flood, because, you know, I just don't think they would have believed that the flood waters were coming.
Okay, yeah, can.
Yeah.
Maybe a few of them. I don't know. It's just a thought that in the face of God, we're not going to listen to the Noah, but we're going to do it our own way. But
yeah, and we do see that, and there are some structures that some people think may have predated the flood. One of them being the Great Pyramid there in Egypt, and also the Sphinx that's there. Some people have reason that they believe that both of them may have been underwater, for instance, at some time.
And
of course, there's also some thought that the Great Pyramid may have been built after the flood, and that possibly Shem, Noah's son, has something to do with it. But you could say that perhaps some structures like that might have been something that survived the flood, but they don't appear to have been built, for the express purpose of doing that.
Okay, just a thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, God bless.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And of course, most studies looking at what the flood would have been like, they talk about these vast tsunamis that would have just swept over, just battering, scouring the surface of the earth at that time. So, so I appreciate that call tonight. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Yes. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And, when we're talking about the things that are happening in the world today, God had said that Jesus, during his earthly ministry, said that it would be like in the days of Noah. And, of course, in the days of Noah, they were the world was becoming more and more wicked. He also said it would be like in the days of Lot. And Lot, of course, was there in Sodom. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were known for their homosexuality and the sexual abomination that took place in those cities. And so we see those things taking place in greater and greater openness today, just like our caller talked about. And so we do see that we're living as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot. And, of course, as in the days of Noah, people scoffed at the idea of God's judgment coming, just like they do today. In fact, Peter said it would be like that. And when Lot tried to warn people, they mocked him, and even threatened to harm him as well. So we are in those days today. And that brings me to another topic here. Last week we had a caller that brought up, actually we had a couple callers that brought up some ideas about conspiracies and different things happening. And one of them, I was talking about the Roman Catholic Church earlier here when we started the program, one of them involved the Pope and his connections apparently with the Illuminati. And I pointed to my website because we were, I think, running out of time at that particular point and didn't have time to get too deeply into the whole conspiracy concept. But I pointed to an audio file or clip that is available on our website that deals with conspiracy theories. And you can find that at liveatpastoral.com. That's our website, liveatpastoral.com. It also links to our Facebook page. You can go there and find out more and like us on Facebook through that. But on there, I had one that starts out talking about chemtrails. And I had recommended that because I talk about conspiracy theories in that particular audio clip. And I started with chemtrails, and that was partly, I think, because, if I remember correctly, the program that audio clip comes from. Somebody had asked about that and some other things, and I used that concept of the chemtrail conspiracy or thought to springboard into conspiracies in general. And I want to bring out some things because I think our one caller who actually called and left me some information later in the week, and I was unable to get back with her, but in regards to the Illuminati and some various things, I think she misunderstood some things that I was saying there, and so that made me realize that perhaps other people that listened to that audio clip could misunderstand something that I was saying there. So I just kind of wanted to kind of run over some things there again and hopefully show what I was trying to say there. Because I've been following since the 1970s. When I was in junior high school, actually when I was in grade school, I was reading the paper, and I was reading this one paper that my dad got that carried a column by a guy who was retired from the U.S. Coast Guard, and he was writing a column, and he talked about a lot of these attempts to establish a one-world government. So that's where I really kind of began looking at a variety of conspiracy theories, and over the years since the 1970s, and of course, I've seen a number of conspiracy theories come and go, some become more prominent at different times. And I wasn't trying to say that there are no such things as conspiracies out there. And let me define what I mean by these conspiracies or conspiracy theories. A conspiracy at its heart is when two or more people get together, they conspire together to achieve a certain goal. And the one caller in her message had said that the Pope and the Illuminati was not a conspiracy theory, it was real, and that conspiracy theories are imaginary. And I apologize if I misunderstood the caller's message, but conspiracy theories are sometimes imaginary, and sometimes they're quite real. Let me give you, for instance, Queen Victoria in the 1800s was the master of a conspiracy theory where a conspiracy, an actual conspiracy, I mean, it's more than just a theory. And the conspiracy was she was contriving to control all of Europe, and she was endeavoring to put one of her descendants on the throne or associated with all of the royal thrones of Europe. And she had quite the plan going on there, such that by the time that World War I took off, the Russian Tsar was married to a granddaughter of Queen Victoria. And then, of course, the King of England was a grandson of Queen Victoria. And what most people don't realize is that the Kaiser of Germany, Kaiser Wilhelm, was also a grandson of Queen Victoria. And in fact, I saw a special on TV one time that showed a picture on the Isle of Wight in the English Channel that was taken a few years before World War I started. And in this picture, there's the King of England, the Kaiser of Germany, and the Tsar and the Tsarina, I guess you could call her, the Tsar's wife of Russia, and some others. And here's the Tsar's wife, the Kaiser, and the King of England are all first cousins. And they're having sort of a family reunion, family picnic, on the Isle of Wight here in the British Isles, and there's a picture of that. I should go online and look for that sometime and try to link it onto our Facebook or our website sometime. But in a sense, what you had going on in World War I was almost like a family spat, but a family fight. But you had this plan that Queen Victoria was working towards accomplishing. And it was a bona fide conspiracy. She was trying to control Europe. So conspiracies are not always imaginary things. Now, the chemtrail one, if you listen to the audio clip that I have online, the chemtrail conspiracy, that is an imaginary thing. And I don't have time to go into that tonight. You can listen to the audio clip for that. And our caller had thought that I was lumping all conspiracies together. And I did kind of, going back and listening through that, I did kind of list conspiracies together. But there are these groups that are out there, and they are very real. Some of them are more prominent at different times. Some of them come into the forefront for a while, and then they fade into the background. Some of them have been going around for centuries. Some of them are a little bit newer on the scene. But my point in the audio clip, and I want to reinforce this here, is no matter what the conspiracy theory is, no matter what group is behind it, whether it's real, let me just focus on the real ones, because, you know, Hitler and the Nazis, they wanted to take over the world. They started with a conspiracy that came close to succeeding. And so there's others out there at different times. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible tells us, and let me run through this, and I've got a caller calling in, so I'll try to make this quick. The Bible tells us, while talking about the revelation of the Antichrist here, he says in verse number 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Talking about the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist, he says something is preventing him, something is withholding him from being revealed. It says in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth." Now letteth is the same word that in the previous verse was translated as withholdeth, and we understand that the word let can mean to rent out your facilities, to, you know, to let them out. It can also mean to permit, as I'll let you do that, and it also can mean to hinder something, such as in a legal document, without letter hindrance. So obviously, when we look at the context there, it doesn't mean to rent, and it doesn't mean to permit. It means to withhold. And so when it says, "He that hath already worked, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." There is something that's hindering the mystery of iniquity from coming to fruition. And the mystery of iniquity, what's behind that is the devil. And that's my point. The master conspirator, whether it's behind the Illuminati, whether it's behind the Bilderbergers, whether it's behind whatever group is out there, whether it was behind Hitler and the Nazis, whether it was behind Queen Elizabeth's attempt to take over Europe and control the world to some degree, not Queen Elizabeth, I'm sorry, Queen Victoria, there's a master conspirator behind these conspiracies. And I'm talking about the ones that are real, the ones that are actual. And the master conspirator is the devil himself, but he is being hindered. And he has to be prepared, because he does not know when the Holy Spirit is going to be removed from the world, and he's going to be able to break free and bring whichever candidate he currently has as the best candidate to become the Antichrist to the forefront, whether it was Napoleon, whether it was Hitler, whether it's somebody else. And he has to be prepared in every age, because he doesn't know when the Lord is going to remove the believers out of the world. And that's the point when the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way. And right now, God is working through his people, through the born-again believers. We're salt and light in the world. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. So the Holy Spirit can't be taken out of the world without the believers going. So when the believers go and the Holy Spirit goes, in the event that we refer to as the rapture, what is withholding the devil from bringing to fruition some group that can bring forward the Antichrist and a one-world government, be it the Illuminati or some other group, he will finally be able to do that. But right now, he's not able to. He's not able to because he's being held back. He's being prevented. And because it's not the right time yet. And so my point with the conspiracy theories is they come, they go, they have a lot of similarities, and that's because they all go back to the master conspirator, which is the devil himself. He's behind them all. Well, we can talk about that more. I've got a few minutes, and I've got a caller patiently waiting. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, hello, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. And that's very interesting, your preceding call. Now, my question is, or my concern is, and I think I know the answer, but I just wanted you to elaborate on it.
Uh-huh.
I've heard various preachers say over the years, all sin is equal in the eyes of God. And then I even heard Dennis Prager, who I think is Jewish,
right,
mention on the air, he said, "I cannot believe that." It's almost like he's doubting the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all sin is not equal, but is it the idea that any sin can keep you from getting saved? So all sin is equal in the eyes of God, because even if it's a little teeny sin, you know, thought, word, or deed, or a very large sin, is going to keep you from God. But of course, all these different sins, there's such a very varying degree, like stealing
right.
a pencil versus exterminating a million people. You know?
Yeah. What we're looking at, and if we have to, I'll hold you over to the second half of the program if you like, because we've only probably got about a minute or two left before the break. But Dennis Prager, first thing to remember about him, and I listen to him quite a bit, and I appreciate a lot of what he's doing, but Dennis Prager
is
unsaved.
Good wisdom.
He's unsaved.
But
he's not
born again.
Right. He does not have the Holy Spirit in him. And the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're spiritual. And because he's not saved, he can't understand everything. He has a great technical knowledge of many things in the Bible, but that's about it. Now, having said that, I've heard him say that too, that you can't say that all sins are equal. And really what we're looking at is the fact that all sins are equal in the sense that every sin is a violation of God's law. And any sin is going to disqualify you from heaven. So all of your sin has to be forgiven. The sin that keeps you from getting forgiven, of course, is the refusal to believe the gospel. Hang on, and we'll discuss it, because it's the consequences of sins that we need to look at here. So stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 crossed. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. And if you got a Bible question or a question about current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, as well as East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. They're located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. They've got stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, calzones, wings, a whole lot more available. You can find them, as I said, at 4889 Turney Road, and you can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself and maybe looking for a good pizza recipe for add-on to an existing line at a restaurant, or just need some help getting set up in a pizza business yourself, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a lot less than what you might think possible. And you don't have to be in Ohio to do that. You can give him a call, and he'll help you out. That's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening, and we have Nancy on hold. And, Nancy, welcome back to the program here tonight. Hello, Nancy.
Thank you for explaining about Dennis Prager's position.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that you had heard him say that all sins, that he did not believe all sins are equal.
Right.
But like you say, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit in him because he's not born again. So.
Right. He doesn't have that discernment in that sense.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The idea is that all sin is an infraction of God's law, and God cannot tolerate any sin. Now, that's from God's perspective, and we don't fully understand, really, why sin is so bad. We don't fully understand why what we think might be a little sin is just as bad as a big sin. And Dennis Prager and many others, he's not alone in that, Jewish or Christian, by any means.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't see how one can believe that a big sin where you kill somebody is as bad as a sin where, let's say, you stole a candy bar from somebody.
Right.
And this idea here of sins being big and little, you can see that even the Roman Catholic Church has mortal sins and venial sins and things of that nature. But here's where it is. It's the consequences of those sins can be much different. For instance, if I steal a chocolate bar, what really is going to happen, to the consequences of that sin? When I was a little boy, I remember being, some of our listeners here in Northeast Ohio might remember the old Woolworths at Pleasant Valley Shopping Center. And I remember they had these bins. They were these glass bins. You can't even have glass bins today because they could break. But there's a glass bin, and it had M&M candies in it, just loose candies in this bin. Mm-hmm. I guess they scooped it out into a bag. And I can remember I was probably, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years old, but I can remember nobody was looking around, and I reached into the bin, and I took one M&M, just one, and I popped it into my mouth as fast as I could, and I looked around, and immediately I felt guilty. Out of all the M&Ms that I've eaten in my life, I remember that one more distinctly than any other M&M in my life. Now, I stole that M&M. Here I am, Pastor Al, on the air, confessing to be an M&M thief. But I think the statute of limitations is run out by now on M&M stealing. But I stole that M&M. I broke the law, man's law, certainly.
Yes.
But I also broke God's law because the Bible says, right in the Ten Commandments, what? Thou shalt not steal. And I stole. I broke God's law.
Yes.
Now, the law of God is like a chain. It's not like a cable. You know, you have a cable. If you're hanging from a cable or a rope, you have to break several strands before it gives way.
Yes.
But a chain, the old saying goes, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Mm-hmm. If I was dangling over the precipice of hell, and just stealing that one M&M was enough to break the chain that I was hanging from,
mm-hmm.
and I was guilty because mm-hmm. I disobeyed God's law. That one sin was mm-hmm. enough to make me mm-hmm. condemned to eternity hell. You
yes.
say, well, how can that be? You're just a little boy. You didn't know any better. I knew mm-hmm. better because as soon as mm-hmm. I ate it, I felt guilty. Why would mm-hmm. I have felt guilty if I didn't know any better?
Yes.
But what I'm getting at is the consequence of that sin was really pretty small. My parents
mm-hmm.
didn't know I
mm-hmm.
took it. Nobody in the store probably knew that I took it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever tell them later?
Bin, what's that?
Did you tell your parents later? Did
no.
You
well, they may have heard me on the radio say it or at church
today,
because
okay.
I've used this as an example before. Oh. This is not the first time I've confessed to my M&M thievery. But but see, they probably never even knew that it was missing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I had stolen it.
God knew it. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, that is a violation of God's law. Now, it had very little consequence to anybody other than myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, the difference
yeah.
is the consequence.
So I didn't even choke on it. So,
mm-hmm.
so it had very little consequence to anybody or anything
mm-hmm.
other than
mm-hmm.
myself and my relationship with God. Now, here's mm-hmm. the thing. That's a lot different in terms of consequence than if I'd have broken another law of God right there in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, meaning murder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if I would have, let's say that the store clerk came over and said, little boy, I saw you take that M&M.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I pulled out a machine gun and shot him to death right there in the store.
Ooh.
You know, that would have had much greater consequences, killing, than stealing an M&M.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the effect of my sin wasn't just me that was affected.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the person whose life I took was affected.
Yes.
And then if that person was a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a
mm-hmm.
sister or a brother, a son
mm-hmm.
or a daughter,
mm-hmm.
I've affected their life. Plus the life of their family members.
Yes.
And I affected my parents' life because now their little boy wasn't just an M&M thief. He was a killer.
Yes.
And so now I've affected many more people with my sin. So although the wages of sin is death, and each sin was a violation of God's law, and
mm-hmm.
each one of them independently would have broken that chain,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the consequences and the effects of those two sins, humanly speaking, were far greater. And see, that's why unsaved people, such as Dennis Prager and others, they see this and they don't understand how the stealing of one solitary M&M can
mm-hmm.
be just
mm-hmm.
as bad as the murder of a human being
mm-hmm.
in God's
mm-hmm.
eyes.
Oh, okay.
See, God is looking at the violation of his law. And
mm-hmm.
You think about it. If some sins are bigger and some sins are littler, you know, we could argue, well, can't God allow me into heaven? Because I just did a little sin
mm-hmm.
as opposed
mm-hmm.
to a big sin.
Yes, yes.
You know, no, it doesn't matter. Any
mm-hmm.
sin, you are a sinner. You know, think about it. How many lies do you have to tell to be called a liar?
Just one. Well, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I mean, all have sinned.
Yeah.
We've all done something in thought, word, or deed.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody's stolen something or lied. You know, I think everybody's guilty of that.
Yeah, it only takes one sin.
Yeah, just one little sin,
to be a sinner. But the
mm-hmm.
fact of the matter is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God even before I stole that M&M. I had already
mm-hmm,
sinned
mm-hmm.
because I had sinned and that I violated in John 3:18 where it says that I'm condemned already, or I was condemned already because I had not believed in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had not believed, because I had not put my faith in Christ as my Savior,
mm-hmm.
I was guilty of the sin of rejecting God already.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Had I never committed another sin in my life,
mm-hmm.
I would have still died
mm-hmm.
and wound up in the lake of fire for all eternity because I was an unbeliever. Let me go to Revelation chapter 21 here. In Revelation
mm-hmm.
chapter 21, He says in verse number 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, it doesn't actually have thieves in that category, but we know elsewhere they are included in lists of sins. But we do have murderers. We have whoremongers. But in that list, there's liars. And like I said, you only have to tell one lie to be a liar. But notice in that list, the fearful and unbelieving. Now, let me go from there, the fearful and unbelieving. Let me go over and read exactly what it says in John chapter 3.
Well, they haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior.
John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, that's the good news part of the verse. When we trust Christ as our Savior, when we believe that he is, you know, the Messiah, the one who died for our sins, the Bible says he that believeth on him is not condemned. But then it doesn't stop there. There's a colon, and it goes on to say, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So unless there's a point in a person's life where they have believed that Jesus died to pay for their sins and they've accepted him as their Messiah, they're classed as the unbelieving. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 18, or verse 8 says, the unbelieving have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, some people would look at that same verse, too, and then say, well, wait a minute. Then does that mean that if I trust Christ as my Savior and then at some later date I start telling lies, I'm going to lose my salvation and I'm going to go into the lake of fire?
Yeah, I have heard people ask that question.
Yeah, well, let's go back to holding my finger there in Revelation, and I'm going to go back to John chapter 3 again, and let's just let the scriptures answer this.
Oh, now, isn't there a verse that says, if any man says that he has not sinned, then he is a liar and the truth is not in him?
Yeah, 1 John chapter 5 says that, and that's an answer to people who say that as a believer, you have to live a sinlessly perfect life, otherwise you're not really saved.
Yeah, these holiness, you know, doctrine, people with the holiness doctrine, I can't even comprehend anybody thinking that they never sinned after they get saved, but there's whole churches that teach that. It's, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like incomprehensible to me.
Well, let me come back to this, and then we'll get to that. In John chapter 3, in verse number 15, the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, notice what he says here, eternal life. Now, this eternal life means just what it says. It's eternal. And then in the more famous verse, verse 16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, the definition of everlasting is just exactly that, everlasting. It never comes to an end. The definition of eternal.
You know, that's why I can't understand people that think that they can lose their salvation by the very definition, eternal.
Because,
everlasting, the Bible makes it so clear. I just can't comprehend how anybody could think that.
Well, see, what they're teaching, is that, let me rephrase John 3, 15 and 16, okay, to reflect more of what is being taught by some people. Okay, now I'm going to alter the words of God here, okay? I'll warn that in advance, and you can see how it changes it. But this reflects what they're actually teaching. I'll start here in John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should have the possibility of not perishing and have the potential for eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should possibly not perish, but potentially have everlasting life. You see how I changed that?
Yes,
that's what they're teaching.
Yes. Now, do some of the corrupt versions, like the NIV, do they actually imply that or actually change the wording so it does?
Yeah, there are some passages that do take away the promise of eternal life in that sense and makes it conditional and all of that. I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now. But you see how I altered that.
Yes.
And I'll just read verse 16 again, that whosoever believeth in him should possibly not perish, but have the potentially everlasting life. You know, that's not what it says.
No.
John chapter 10 makes it very clear again, and we're going to come back to Revelation again. In John chapter 10, Jesus says this. He says in, verse number, I'm going to miss it here. John chapter 10, and I can't see what I'm looking at here. Got to get my glasses sorted out here. There we are. John chapter 10 and verse number 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Mm-hmm. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now again, let me rephrase this and cast it in the way that some people teach it. Okay?
Oh.
And you can see it.
Uh-huh.
They say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them the possibility of eternal life, and they potentially will never perish, neither possibly shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them is greater than me, and some men are able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Mm.
They change it completely. And they say, well, if you sin sufficiently, you pluck yourself out of God's hand. Now, you'd have to be greater than God to do that. And when he said, I give them eternal life, he meant eternal. It is forever. He said they'll never perish, which means never perish. If Jesus is God, and he is, and if God can see the future as well as the past, and he can, he would know that at the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, that if what they say is true, that 10 years down the road, you're going to backslide and you're going to lose your salvation and you're going to get out of Christ and lose your salvation, he would know that he did not give you eternal life, and he would know that you would perish.
Amen.
And so he would be a liar. Now, let me go back to Revelation and chapter 21 and verse 8 again. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with a Christian who begins to lie? With a Christian that becomes fearful? With a Christian that perhaps commits murder? With a born-again Christian that maybe dabbles with the occult, such as the sorcerer, or elevates something to an idol status in their life? They're guilty of these things. Well, what do we do with them? Well, people who believe that you only have the potential for eternal life say, well, then you can't go into heaven because of your sin. Well, let's again go back to the Scriptures. You know, what saith the Scripture? And so let's go to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible says this. In verse number 10, starting there, it says, as it is written, there's none that none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's a pretty broad condemnation, isn't it?
Yes,
we're all
sure
in that right there.
Sure.
Well, as he goes down a little further in the chapter here in Romans chapter 3, he starts a long sentence that starts in verse number 21. And I'm not going to read the entire sentence because it goes all the way down to verse number 26. It's a long sentence, and it's a complex sentence because everything in there is interrelated, but we're going to look at a part of it here. Starting in verse number 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God, let me pause there for just a moment. It's not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of God. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, verse 22 here, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, it goes on to talk about how we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, how we're all freely justified by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, etc. But notice what he talks about there. God's righteousness is manifested when we trust Christ as our Savior. He's saying here in verse 22 that the righteousness of God is placed on us. Mm-hmm. And so when God looks at us, He doesn't see our righteousness, because the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Filthy rags, yeah.
Right. He clothes us. He literally clothes us with His own righteousness. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they disobeyed God, and they covered themselves with aprons made of fig leaves. God said that's not good enough. He killed an innocent animal, took the skins from that animal, and fashioned robes to cover the effect of Adam and Eve's sin. And the principle of a blood atonement, that the blood of Christ was the ultimate expression of, because all of those animals that were slain in the Old Testament pointed to the coming sacrifice of Christ, who was the Lamb of God that was to take away the sin of the world. So when we trust Christ as our Savior, we're clothed with the robe of God's righteousness. Mm-hmm. And when He looks at us, yes, we sin. Mm-hmm. We still have a sin nature. Paul in Romans 7 talked about doing things that he knew that he shouldn't do and not doing things that he should do because of the sin that was in his flesh. That talking about the sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he failed many times and comes short of God's glory. He sinned as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But that sin was under the blood of Christ. He was clothed with the righteousness of God. And when God looks at the believer, when you acknowledge your sin before a holy and righteous God, and you confess that you don't deserve heaven, instead you understand and accept that you deserve hell because you violated God's law.
Yeah.
But we believe that Jesus paid for our sins with His blood upon the cross of Calvary, that He was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death.
Amen.
When we accept that and trust Christ as our Savior, the robe of righteousness is put on us. And God doesn't see our fear, our unbelief, our abomination, our murder, our whoremongering, sorcery, idolatry in our lives. Instead, He sees the righteousness of God. And that's the key right there. Hey, we're out of time.
Cool.
Thanks
that's
for the
good.
Calls.
Well,
join us
you,
again
Pastor
next week
Al.
And have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.